Kevin Spacey comes out. Broadway divas took the stage. And did your favorites win the Tony tonight? We're recapping the 71st annual Tony Awards right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome to the after show for the 71st annual Tony Awards. I'm your host, Drexel Hurd. You can follow me on Twitter at Drexel Hurd, and be sure to check out Political Culture Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. I'm here to recap tonight's show with a very special guest. She is a four-time Broadway veteran, Miss Carla Renato. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Drexel. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, what a great to have you here.
It's my pleasure.
You've been in Avenue Q on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in The Life on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
How to Succeed in Business on Broadway, mm-hmm. Smokey Joe's Cafe on Broadway. Mm-hmm. What has been your favorite show you've been in?
They've all been my favorite for a variety of different reasons, but How to Succeed is my favorite just because it was my first.
Right. You never forget your first.
It was my first. And Avenue Q was my favorite because whenever we would perform that show, it always got a very unexpected response. Like, people would come to see Avenue Q thinking they were seeing Sesame Street Live or some Sesame Street ice show, and it would always be, you know, Avenue Q, where we're cursing and puppets are naked and,
right,
you know, having simulated sex.
Right.
And I cannot say. It was hilarious.
I love that show.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious to watch people just get up and leave because they had no idea that that's what they were coming to
see. And right now it's off Broadway.
Yeah, they moved it back.
New
it started
stages.
Off Broadway,
right.
Moved it on Broadway, and then moved it back off Broadway.
Yeah, what a great show. Well, it just so happens, I'm glad that you said that your favorite show was Avenue Q, because we are going to show a little clip of when
no,
you were in Avenue Q,
you
real
are
quick.
Not. Ooh,
we're
going to
point
you
that
out. Oh, you are
yeah, let's,
sneaky.
Let's show
down.
What they got.
Oh, no. Oh, that shady
movie. You as Gary Coleman.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, Miss Carla Reno. Wasn't that amazing? It's just amazing. What are you just seeing that back? So fun.
I'm gagging because I'm speechless, and that never happens.
You know, well, see, that's what happens when you come on a show with me. You just never
Ooh,
know
Drexel,
what you're gonna
you are
get.
Sneaky boots. Ooh, honey.
Well, welcome. But I could talk to you all about, you know, your past and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and there's plenty
yeah.
of time like that.
Yeah.
But tonight,
let's talk about
the Tony Awards at
yes.
Radio City Music Hall.
Yes.
71st annual, hosted by Kevin Spacey. First off, on a scale of 1 to 10, overall thoughts on the telecast?
Scale of 1 to 10, I give it maybe about a 7.
7? That's pretty good.
I give it about a 7.
Because there's been some past telecasts that have just not been...
Yeah,
there've
been some doozies.
Like some snoozies.
Yes, boo.
This wasn't a snoozy.
There
were parts that were snoozy.
There were sections where I was like,
There were sections that we fast forwarded because we were watching the East Coast
and
feed
then there's
on
that.
The West Coast, and we were like, yep, time to fast forward that a little bit.
Yeah, my overall thought about the telecast is that I loved Kevin Spacey as the host because I know firsthand that he is multi-talented. He can sing, he can dance, he's a 2-time Oscar winner, he's a Tony winner, and I especially love the moment where he gave homage to his Tony moment when he was nominated for Ibsen's Ghost, he said. And
well, he was nominated for The Iceman Cometh.
Iceman Cometh.
And he won for Lost in Yonkers.
Yeah, but he mentioned that the...
Ghost, yes.
Yeah,
his first one.
Yeah, the first one that he won was for Ibsen's Ghost. And he had the picture in the dressing room as he was preparing to go on for the Tonys that night. And had the picture up of Henry Fonda, who he is a huge, huge, huge fan of.
Right.
And he emulated him greatly. So I thought that was a really cool moment that he humbled himself in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great when you see, like, I just finished House of Cards today, actually. So just this new season of House of Cards. So it was great to see him do this because, you know, I don't know if you remember, but like a couple months ago, we didn't know who was going to be hosting the Tonys. And like they hadn't really made a decision like a few months ago. Like the people were up in the air. They had a host and then they dropped and then they couldn't work out.
Yeah,
they wanted Lin-Manuel and that wasn't going to work out.
That
so, like,
was never going to work out.
Yeah.
He would have been a great host.
He'd been great.
But I think whoever it was that they had, and they still have not really revealed who that person or persons were. They dropped out, had a scheduling conflict, whatever the case may be, and they got Kevin Spacey. But I think he was perfect for it because he can do impressions, he can sing, he can dance, he can act, he can handle a room. You know, he's just really good at that type of thing.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey opened the show with an homage, a medley of four different numbers from four different shows.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun. He kind of, you know, made it his own. So let's take a look at that
hilarious
opening number.
Just wrong.
Have you ever felt like nobody would care? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of going live on air? Have you ever felt the ratings could disappear? That if you host, no one would cheer? Well,
so he opens up the show with what we opened up with here with You Would Be Found from Dear Evan Hansen. He goes on to do numbers from Groundhog Day, Great Comet, and Sunset Boulevard, where he plays
Norman Desmond.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, what do you think of that opening number?
I love the opening number, mostly because it was kind of like an homage to, because it was all, like you mentioned, because there was all the drama with finding a host, he opened it up with an homage to, yeah, this person didn't work out. You had this person in the past, you had that person in the past, but now you got me, so what you gonna do?
Right.
Like, I kind of love the fact that he did that. He said something like, oh, and then my favorite moment of that whole thing was when Whoopi Goldberg popped out of the closet, and then there was that whole... There was a closet joke about him.
Oh, yes.
And then there was a closet joke about her. The one about her, is that he said, how long, Whoopi, how long have you been in that closet? And she said, well, it depends on who you ask.
Yes, that's so funny.
I love Whoopi Goldberg.
Speaking of past hosts, how do you think that Kevin Spacey compared to some of the past hosts that we've seen? James Corden, Hugh Jackman, Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, who else hosted the Tonys like recently?
Stephen Colbert hosted it, like a bunch of people. But this is the thing. I think that every one of the past hosts have always brought something unique about them that makes that particular Tony year special. And so I wouldn't say that one was better than another, as much as I would say, you know, depending on what the shows were that were nominated, they brought their own special brand of uniqueness to that particular year of nominees.
Yeah. You know, I loved Whoopi Goldberg when she did, I think she's hosted twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember watching her as a kid,
mm-hmm,
and thinking, oh my goodness, because I remember when she flew in as Mary Poppins and she did Lion King, and like there was so much happening and it was so fun. And so I do miss that. Hugh Jackman was always great, I thought. James Corden, I thought, was really great last year as well. But and he's fun. His show is fun. But I thought Kevin Spacey kind of lived up to that. He wasn't, you know, some hosts have a problem with making the show about them.
Mm.
And it was less about him and more about the theater in general. And sometimes you can get that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people don't know how to balance that, mm-hmm, as a host on stage. You see that at the Oscars, you see that at the Emmys and stuff like that.
You see it more at the Oscars and the Emmys than you do at the Tonys.
Because
right, the Tonys, like we were saying before we got on the air, it's a different kind of community.
Right.
So you can't make it all about you at the Tonys. People will let you have it.
And you know, it's so interesting you say that, because one of the things that I remember thinking, the only time that it really got political in the night was Stephen Colbert, who it's not surprising that he gets political. But you didn't see any theater people making any political...
No, yes you did.
I wasn't guessing really... But it wasn't as prevalent as it was at the Oscars.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
When Cynthia Nixon won for Doll's House 2,
mm-hmm,
she quoted the Lillian Hellman speech where she said, let me see, there are people who eat the earth and eat all the people on it, like in the Bible with the locusts, and other people who stand around and watch them eat. That was a direct / indirect dig toward,
right,
Donald Trump's administration and what's happening in America, and And then she furthermore applauded people standing up for what they believe in and marching and not sitting down and taking it quietly. So yeah, that was definitely a political statement.
And maybe I just mean like overtly, like there
was
like
that was
like,
overt.
I mean, I guess if you like are really thinking about that, like there was no like mention of the person other than of the president.
Nobody ever mentions him by his name. Right. Like it's
at the Oscars,
thing.
It was. I mean, it seemed pretty. Pretty forward at the Oscars, but yeah, I mean that was pretty blatant direct attack at the president. Rachel Bloom, backstage correspondent. Did you think that was a great addition from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
You know, I loved because they always have somebody that has a musical theater background as the backstage correspondent. Right. Last year it was Barrett Foa, and Barrett and I were both in Avenue Q.
Yes.
He left and I came in, uh-huh. So we kind of missed each other. But they had him doing it last year, and this year they had Rachel doing it. So I love the fact that they try to keep it all in the theater family,
right.
By having somebody that has a theater background and that knows what Broadway is and knows the Broadway people when they come backstage. Because there's nothing worse than having a show like that, and then the Broadway people that come off, the winners, the stars, the presenters, whoever it may be, have them come off, and that backstage correspondent doesn't know who they are.
Right.
That would be tragedy.
Right.
Just not good.
And Johnny Carson, Bill Clinton, which of the impersonations of Kevin Spacey did you like the best?
I liked Bill Clinton's impersonation of Bill Clinton best.
It was
because he did the whole, he made jokes about Hillary and the email service. It was hilarious.
I thought that because of how many people were coming out in the night, not literally. Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride Day.
That Hillary Clinton would have showed up. Because she's been popping in those shows like all year.
Nah.
I was like, wow, what if Hillary just shows up tonight?
Nah.
We had Joe Biden in the audience, Dr. Joe Biden in the audience.
They already had somebody from that administration.
Right.
So it's like they're not going to do a double whammy.
Next year, Barack Obama show up.
Yeah, Joe Biden was in the audience, but his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, was kind of a presenter.
She was presenting for Bandstand. She was presenting.
And they gave her a standing ovation.
Yeah, it was great, and that was very nice.
That was lovely.
So let's talk about some performances.
Okie dokie. Which one you want to hear first?
So, well, let's go through what performances we had tonight. We had Come From Away,
mm-hmm.
Miss Saigon, William Finn's falsettos, Dear Evan Hansen, Groundhog Day, Hello Dolly, War Paint, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet. And the Bandstand performance, and then the In Memoriam performance. What was your favorite performance of the night?
My favorite performance of the night is a toss-up between War Paint with mm-hmm. Christine Ebersole and Patti LuPone, and the young lady, I can't remember her name, but the young lady who was nominated for Miss Saigon, because...
Eva Nobilzada.
Yeah, there we go. So, because I remember back in the day when I was on Broadway, Miss Saigon was on Broadway, so I saw Lea Salonga do it in real life, and she was amazing.
Right,
but
and I know we have a picture of the Miss Saigon. I mean, I'm sorry, the War Paint performance.
Oh yeah, well let's see that.
Oh, it's not a clip.
Oh,
sorry, it's not a clip. It's just a picture.
Oh, okay.
Just a picture of Christine Ebersole.
But Lea Salonga, the young lady that sang tonight that's playing Kim in the revival of Miss Saigon on Broadway, her vocal chops are redonkulous.
I mean, that performance was great. It was a really solid performance.
Amazing.
Yeah.
She was so good.
But what do you think? What made you pick War? I know we talked about
War Paint.
But War Paint.
I come from the school of if you're going to do musical theater, then do musical theater. Have people that can blow.
Mm-hmm.
Have people that have the chops. Have people that have the vocal capability to do 8 shows a week and have those strong, powerful voices that make you kind of lift up in your seat and pay attention. And I think Christine Ebersole and Patti LuPone more than did that tonight when they performed their performance from their show.
They did a face-to-face,
yes.
Which was great. For those that don't know anything about the show, it's about the cosmetics giants, Elizabeth Arden and Helena Rubinstein. It was really... I loved the set. I loved their crossovers. And you got two huge Broadway divas. Like, for people who were in the audience for the first time, like actually in the audience for the first time,
that would make me want to go see that show.
Go see the show. I would cry sitting in the audience because I'm like, I've got Patti LuPone, I've got Christine Ebersole, and how many times in my lifetime are we going to get them on the same stage?
And they're two Tony winners. I mean, Patti won for Evita.
Right.
And I think she won again for Gypsy later on. And then Christine Ebersole won for Grey Gardens. And I saw them in both. Oh my God, they were right. So good.
And what a season for like, the original, I call them the OGs. you know, Christine Ebersole, Patti LuPone, Bette Midler, all on Broadway at the exact same time. This is like a year of great
Glenn Close
and Sunset Boulevard. Really great Broadway.
They're legends. They are Broadway legends.
How do you, like, I have to be in New York on Monday, and I'm like, how do I know some shows, a lot of shows are dark on Monday, so I mean, there'll be slim pickings for what I get to see.
Not a lot on Monday, though, because Right. Everybody, they do that crazy schedule with some people. I know when I was
the summer schedule.
Yeah, I mean, no, the schedule, the period.
Eight shows a week.
No. What I was going to say is, they do this crazy schedule where not everybody has Monday off. Because I know when I was doing Avenue Q, our day off was Thursday. I know Chicago's day off is not Monday. So Everybody has a different day off. It depends on your show and your theater and all of that. Oh. But not everybody, like back in the day, everybody had Monday off.
Uh-huh.
That's not the case anymore.
That's not the case anymore. And as they, like I said, as they move into summer schedule, that's when it's like every day there's really not a day off because you're doing like three shows on one day.
Well, especially when the Tonys come around, because I did the Tonys. So I did the Tonys with How to Succeed. So when the Tonys happen, what happens is you have the Gypsy of the Year, mm-hmm. you have the Easter Bonnet, you have mm-hmm. all these activities that lead up to the Tony Award telecast. You have the rehearsals for all those activities. Then you have your understudy rehearsals if you're an understudy. And then you have the rehearsals for the actual Tony Award telecast where they do, most of the time they do an abridged version of whatever the big number is in your show. They do an abridged version of it. So you have to do the regular version every night and then remember what the abridged version is of what you're doing. I'm straight up. For the Tonys. And when I tell you there are shenanigans that ensue during the week of the Tonys because you come on stage sometimes and you just forget where you are or what version you're doing. It's a lot of fun, though.
That sounds like a lot of fun. What I thought was fun tonight, my favorite performers of the night were toss-ups between Ben Platt's Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen, which we're going to throw up a picture of, which I thought it was just, I mean, if that set that they had, I haven't seen it because, like, who can get tickets to that?
I can.
Oh, all right, Miss Ma'am. I got tickets. You can get me tickets anytime. Just swing them all my way.
With the producer. Oh. Shout out to Kevin Spiritus. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's so hard to get tickets. They're like $300. I'm like, do I spend $300 on a ticket? I don't know yet.
$300, that's how much Broadway tickets
are. That's how Broadway tickets are right now, unless you rush it.
You better go to TKTS. Lottery
and of course, Dear Evan Hansen won't be at TKTS. And
that's too bad, too sad.
But it was just a really cool way that they use technology.
You know, I saw that and it reminded me of the very first show that I know of that did that was Tommy.
Uh-huh.
Was the Who's Tommy.
The Who's and Tommy, I did that you did on tour.
I did that too. So I know that Des McAnuff was because I remember at the time people made such a stink about the fact that he was using electronic graphics in that way. And now when we looked up and watched the Tonys today and they showed Dear Evan Hansen doing that, I'm like, well, look at that. Dez was ahead of the curve.
That's cool. Because, yeah, and Who's Tommy is such a nostalgic kind of old show that nobody really talks about anymore. And smaller theaters are doing it every once in a while. But, Who's Tommy did it first.
Yeah.
My second favorite show was Natasha Pierre, the performance from Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812. With a quick medley, Josh Groban did the title number at the end of the show, which is The Great Comet of 1812, and Lucas Steele, Danae Benton, and the cast did Balaga, I believe, which is the big number.
I haven't seen the show, so I'm a little at a loss about that one. But you said you'd seen it.
I saw it.
And you said Danae Benton was fabulous. Amazing. It's a shame we didn't get a chance to see her on national TV.
Shocked that they did that number.
And she was a Tony nominee. I'm just saying.
Yeah. That was we did see her hit somebody in the head, but that was about it. But the show, if you get a chance, if you're in New York City, go see Natasha Pierre, go see Danae Benton, go see Josh Groban. And then Josh Groban is actually going to be leaving soon. There's going to be a new Pierre. Oak. What's his name? Oak from Hamilton, the black guy who was in the quartet from with Chuck Cooper, not the quartet, but the In Memoriam with Chuck Cooper.
Oh, okay.
He will be taking over for
for Josh Groban.
For Josh Groban. Okay. I can't pronounce his name.
That's the
so
one.
Somebody's
who,
gonna have to be
the
like.
One,
you
somebody pronounced his name, and right. I was like, oh,
"Who is that?"
Oh, I was like, "Oh, he pronounced it well."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to phonetically speak it, spell it.
Well, so we're gonna call him Double O.
Yeah, some people call him Oak. I know my friends who know them call him Oak. So
Double O.
That's Double O. Double O. He was in Hamilton, and now he is going to Natasha Pierre. But yeah, I thought that performance was really great. Some of the other were there any performances that surprised you?
Performances that surprised me. Bandstand surprised me. Andy's choreography is always kind of just crazy, energetic, and just off the charts all the time. But I think he outdid himself with this one. And I think Bandstand is one of those kind of sleeper hits on Broadway just because of the type of dancing that it is exhibiting.
Right.
It's that dancing from like the wartime, the 40s and the 50s, the Hollywood canteen swing thing. And I love watching that because that type of dancing is extremely hard to do because it's all partner dancing.
Right.
And you have to rely on the other person to flip you around or be there when you need them to be there. So I think he did a great job. And I really like the number that they showed on the Tonys tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I love Andy Blankenbuehler. I loved In the Heights choreography. I loved Bring It On choreography. I love Hamilton choreography. Obviously, those are all Lin-Manuel shows, but they like to team up a lot.
Yes, they do.
So Bandstand kind of came. I think Bandstand, he also directed it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he directed and choreographed. So mm-hmm. I think that was his directorial debut
was
Bandstand. So that was a lot of fun. I thought that the Hello Dolly performance, David Hyde Pierce, was a little snooze, so that was shocking. I was surprised that they did not do a cast performance, not without Bette Midler. I didn't know if they would do a number him and Gavin Creel doing a number together.
We discussed this too, and I said about that I felt like it was very gracious of Bette Midler to give him that time to do that number. It was a little long. They could have cut it.
That's why I thought they would do a medley. Because I thought the curtain being closed behind them, he would do like a quick like 30-second to a minute piece.
No, they gave most of their time to the Comet musical.
Great Comet, right?
They gave that number was really, really long. So they gave,
and they were coming from the audience.
There's always one musical number that gets a lot of time, and what people might not know about the Tonys is that some people actually had shows on Tony Sunday. So the order of the shows and the performances and what kind of performance they did totally depends on who had a show that night or not. So they may have Bette Midler may have chosen not to do a number from Dolly on the Tonys because they may have had a show tonight.
Right.
And I think that might have been too much for her to try to do a show and then come to the Tonys and just be like this because she has extreme stage fright. So
right.
I think that might have been too much for her. But the Comet musical had a really long number, and I enjoyed that. And the number with David Hyde Pierce was really, really long. They could have cut that in half.
Yeah.
What else were you going to talk about?
I love Miss Saigon performance, which you alluded to. It was great to see Lea Salonga out there.
I loved seeing her.
And then,
it's been so long.
What did you think of the Come From Away performance?
They did
Welcome to the Rock, Joel Hatch and the Company. We saw old friend Rodney Hicks on the
Sharon
stage.
Yes, and Sharon Wheatley from Avenue Q.
Right?
Shout out, Sharon. I love that number enough that it makes me want to go see that show.
Yeah.
This is the thing about the Tonys. I love watching the musical numbers on the Tonys because I want to see the shows that I'm not in New York and privy to watch or go see in previews or whatever. So I want to get a little snippet of what it is. So when I do make my way to the city, I can, you know, get my tickets together and get my little schedule in line of what the shows are I want to check out.
Yeah, and do you find yourself, like, I know we talk about musicals a lot, because, and that's what people think of
when
it comes to Broadway, but there are always so many shows, like we saw, like, I wanted to see Six Degrees of Separation, because I love Allison Janney so much, and then The Jitney, and all those big shows.
I'm so proud of Jitney.
Yeah. I thought that all the performances, you know, were great, and of course, the In Memoriam with Justin Guarini, Chuck Cooper, and the other guys. I forgot about Mary Tyler Moore. I just forgot. Like 2016, like took out everybody.
It took out a lot of people. But I was particularly surprised and moved by the passing of Martha Swope, because mm-hmm. Martha Swope took pictures of me for Avenue Q for my Broadway picture. And
do you have it hung up in your house?
No, because it's like life-size, huge. Like, no. But she took that picture, and she took our How to Succeed pictures, and she took our pictures for the life, and James Niederlander passed away, and he right. was a major, 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 major Broadway producer. And yeah, you know, I don't know Niederlander how I missed that.
Niederlander Theater, yeah. where Rent started, yes. everything. Yes. A lot of shows started yes. Niederlander.
Yes, but they were a major, major producing presence on the Broadway scene, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who picks up that torch and runs with it from this point on.
so let's talk about the winners and losers tonight. Mm-hmm. I do want to point out that one of the things.
Losers.
Well, I'm sorry. All the winners. Let's talk about
the winners and the nominees tonight. Thank you.
you know, it's like the E! News after show. The winners and the losers. Okay, so let's talk about the winners and the nominees. Point out real quick that one of the things that I thought was really cool was that all of the authors of every Best Play nominee, it was their Broadway debut, their first Tony nomination, and they were all American born playwrights. I thought that was really cool.
I love that. I love the fact that the American theater wing, its voters, and the Broadway community are starting to embrace new works.
Right.
You know, because for a minute, it was like, it was the same old stuff. Like, I don't need to see, no offense to anybody that was in Fiddler on the Roof, but I don't need to see Fiddler on the Roof right. in the 10th revival.
The 10th revival.
I just don't. I don't need to see it.
Oh my goodness. Let's talk about some of the subcategories. We'll talk about the subcategories and then the top categories. So, best featured actor in a play went to Michael Aronoff. It was his first nomination and first win. He won for Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
That category had Nathan Lane and Danny DeVito in it. So, you know, it's interesting, like, for people, do you find it interesting for people who are just watching the Tonys and they think big names should win?
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean?
I've
like,
never
like,
heard that school of
I just
thought.
Meant, no, I mean, not for theater people. Mm-hmm. Theater people we know, like, of course, you know, somebody's mm-hmm. going to be better, and that's how it works. Mm-hmm. But, like, if somebody's not watching it for the first time, mm-hmm. do you find that some people go, well, of course, I know Nathan Lane. And I know Danny DeVito. And, of course, they should win because it's Nathan Lane and Danny DeVito. And mm-hmm. then somebody else wins out of the blue. Mm-hmm. I would think that that would shock some people because they'd be like, oh, there are other actors out there in the world.
Well, again, this is the Tony Awards, so it's based on theater. So you mentioned Nathan Lane and Danny DeVito. Those are people that have been in feature films. So, yes, their names and right. their faces are a little more known across secular types of media.
Right.
But for the Broadway community, people that know and love Broadway know who the Broadway performers and mm-hmm. actors and actresses are. So they go based on, you know, what show is getting heat, what show's been written up. And then there's also the whole lead up to the Tonys. There's the Drama Desk. There's the Outer yep. Critics Awards.
I love the Drama Desk Awards.
Yeah, so there's a whole plethora of awards that lead up to the Tonys. And usually, just like with the Oscars and the Emmys and everything, well, there's not a whole bunch of lead up to the Emmys. But with the Oscars, there's a bunch of things that lead up to the Oscars. So by the time the person wins the Oscar, you know who it is.
Well, if you live in Los Angeles, there's all the four-year consideration billboards are up right now.
Yes.
It's everywhere. We know FYC. FYC, you know exactly yes. what that means.
Yes.
Emmy voters, get out there and
yes.
vote for your shows.
But with the Broadway community, there's the Outer Critics and the Drama right. Drama Desk and a couple of other ones that elude me at the moment. But when those things happen, when you start seeing the same people mm-hmm. win over and over again, like if somebody wins Drama Desk and Outer Critics, the likelihood of them not winning the Tony is kind of like slim to none.
Yeah. Best featured actress in a play, Cynthia Nixon. I thought that was great. That that category had Joanna Day, Jane Hodishell, Khandola Rashad, who is Felicia Rashad's daughter. She's in Doll's House Part 2, and Michelle mm-hmm. Wilson Sweat. I thought that was great. Best featured actor in a musical, Gavin Creel. He was originally nominated for Thoroughly Modern Millie
in 2002,
which he was presented with. Sutton Foster presented him with tonight's Tonys.
So
I'm sure that excited her.
That was cool.
Best featured actress in a musical went to Rachel Bay Jones mm-hmm. For Dear Evan Hansen. It was her first win, first nomination.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Pippin, Women on the Verge
of Women a Nervous
on the Verge
Breakdown,
of a Nervous Breakdown and in Hair.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen that. Best choreography went to Andy Blankenbuehler for Bandstand.
Yay. Very deservedly.
Which,
so,
you know what? That actually surprised, I mean, just hearing you talk about how you felt about the choreography just from the performances, having not seen Bandstand and having only seen the performances, I thought that Sam Pinkleton was going to take it for Natasha Pierre because of how crazy in the theater that choreography is. Mm-hmm. Didn't see Holiday Inn because I don't think it lasted that long. And then Come From Away, which we saw a little bit of that performance. It was a lot of kind of stomping, and it reminded me a little bit of what was that?
It was more staging than choreography, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once. It reminded me a little bit of Once. Mm-hmm. And then Best Direction of a Musical went to Christopher Ashley for Come From Away, which, again, surprised me.
Really?
Because I thought the Best Direction of a Musical was going to go to Michael Greif for Dear Evan Hansen. But seeing the story of Come From Away, mm-hmm, I was like, okay, I can see that.
And the other thing is, this is the thing about Michael Greif. I was happy to see that he was actually nominated. I think this isn't the first time he's been nominated for a Tony for Best Direction. But, you know, he goes all the way back to the Rent days, right, you know, with Jonathan Larson. So to see him get his due in his own right was really heartwarming for me personally, to see him get his due in his own right, because he had been living for so long in the shadow of Jonathan Larson and Rent,
right,
and the La Jolla Playhouse, that it was just nice to see him get some props.
I need to get to La Jolla. No, seriously, dude.
It's lovely.
And then Best Direction of a Play went to Rebecca Teichman for Indecent.
She was so excited.
Yeah, she was very excited. And you know, because it's one of those shows that you don't hear a lot about from a play perspective, because we heard a lot about Doll's House. We heard a lot about Oslo. We heard a lot about Jitney. Heard a lot about The Little Foxes because of the names that were in all of those shows.
But Paula Vogel is the playwright, and she is a beast. She is a beast. So
it's her first year.
She's been around forever, right, and her work is really exemplary, as is Lynn Nottage's work. And she wrote Sweat.
Right.
Which was also nominated.
Let's go to the top categories. Talk about some of those. Best Original Score went to Benj Pasek and Justin Paul from Dear Evan Hansen. I know we got a photo of them. Best
there
Original.
They are.
Yeah. And they're on their way to win the EGOT.
Are they really?
They're halfway through the EGOT. They've got the Oscar, they've got the Tony. Maybe they'll get the Emmy somehow, and then if Dear Evan Hansen wins a Grammy next year,
then they'll have the G and the O and the T.
So they might have a good year.
They might be following in the footsteps of Lin-Manuel, because that's what he did last year too.
He did
with Hamilton.
Yeah, and oh man. Yes, Hamilton.
That's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation. Best Actor in a Play, Kevin Kline, third win, fourth nomination.
And can I just give a personal note? He's from Missouri. He's from St. Louis. So
Missouri?
Am I. Missouri.
Missouri. Okay.
Missouri. he's from St. Louis, Missouri, and so am I. So I was happy to see one of my homies win.
That's fun. I'm just side note. In The Loop in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eat that fried ravioli?
I haven't lived in St. Louis. I haven't lived in St. Louis in a really, really, really long time, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
I didn't know if you were a fried ravioli fan. I know some folks in St. Louis are
in
fried
the loop.
Ravioli, in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Best Actress in a Play, Laurie Metcalf. First win, third nomination.
I love that she won.
Yeah.
I love when people win and they look genuinely and earnestly surprised and humbled by the fact that somebody thought that they deserved an award. And that's what she looked like when she accepted hers. She thanked her kids first,
right,
and foremost. Like, I thought that was cool.
She's previously nominated for November and for Misery. I think the Misery performance would have been interesting to see, because we all know Misery as Kathy Bates.
Yes.
So to see somebody else, you know, not abroad, like Kathy Bates playing that role, but a very petite Laurie Metcalf.
But that speaks to Laurie Metcalf's,
right,
acting ability. She was able to inhabit that character.
Right. I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, I would have loved to see that too. I bet it was really good.
I bet it was scary. I bet she was very scary.
I bet she worked it.
I bet she did work it. Best Actor in a Musical, Ben Platt. First nomination, first win for Dear Evan Hansen. Not surprising. Not surprising to anybody.
I always feel like when somebody wins on their first win and first nomination, it's like, where do you go from there? Like, where do you go? What do you do?
Well, and Ben Platt was in Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. He was Elder Cunningham. Mm-hmm. So he's no stranger
to Broadway.
Broadway and the tour of Book of Mormon, which I just saw here in L.A. A couple of weeks ago. First time I saw it.
Oh, really?
First time. It's so good.
You know it's written by the same people that wrote Avenue Q. Just saying.
Oh, no puppets in this one.
No puppets.
It's a good, it's a great show. He was also up against David Hyde Pierce, Andy Carl, Josh Groban, and Christian,
Christian Borle.
What did he call him?
I don't even know, but it wasn't even close.
Kevin Spacey said something that
Borrelli,
and I was like,
Kevin Spacey, how are you going to butcher somebody's name?
Right.
Okay.
And did you see Christian Borle's face when he went, oh, okay, that's it. Okay, got it. Yeah. So congratulations to Ben Platt. And then Best Actress in a Musical, Bette Midler. First time.
Yeah, okay.
As an actor.
She won before for her, Something on Half Shell, her one-woman show that she would do. I want to say Divas on a Half Shell, but I know that's wrong. But it's Something on a Half Shell, and she won for that. They gave her a special Tony for that, and I think she thought she was done. But side note, I was really excited to see that Jerry Zaks directed it because he directed the one with Carol Channing.
Mm-hmm.
He also directed Smokey Joe's Cafe, so I've worked with him. So fine. I was like, look at Jerry Zaks sitting up there nominated for a Tony again. But I love that she won, and I love that she... What I really loved about the fact that she won is that she was like, y'all not gonna play me off the stage. It took me a whole lifetime to get here, and I'm gonna say what I have to say.
I felt like Bette Midler, this might be like, she knows this might be like,
she might never get there again. That's right.
Like,
so she was like,
you know, take that time.
That's right. I'm not mad at her. I would have done it too.
I was like, you better get your time.
I was like, hey.
And they weren't going to cut that off. They weren't going to drop that mic into the floor.
And they weren't going to have no hook bring her off the stage either. Right. She would have drop kicked somebody.
She sure would have. She was in that category with Danae Benton, Christine Ebersole, and Patti LuPone, and Eva Nobisada from Miss Saigon. I want to go back real quick because I want to talk about that category with Laurie Metcalf,
mm-hmm.
because I remember seeing those nominations come out,
mm-hmm.
and like I saying to myself, who could win this? Like the names: Cate Blanchett, Sally Field, Laura Linney, Jennifer L. Like, I was like, I don't know, I don't know.
I could have worked that out because first of all, Sally, I don't know if Sally Field has won a Tony before, but most people look. And there's this ongoing debate with Broadway. You know, they really hate to see people come in from Hollywood and infiltrate the Broadway community. They hate it, but it sells tickets to keep it alive. So what you gonna do?
Right.
But when I saw that Sally Field was there, I'm like, okay, she's a Hollywood person. When I saw that Laurie Metcalf was there, well, she's a TV person, but she does a lot of theater. When I saw that, who were the other ones you mentioned?
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett. She's an Oscar winner. You know, I mean, when you and Laura Linney. Laura Linney has won numerous Tonys.
Right.
So if Laura Linney didn't take home a Tony tonight, it was okay. Right.
Best
Just saying.
Revival of a play went to August Wilson's Jitney, which was great.
Yes!
I have a cousin in Jitney, Andre Holland. Best Revival of a Musical went to Andre Holland?
Yes, he was in Moonlight. Yeah. Hello.
Yes, he was. And he was in Jackie Robinson movie. The Jackie Robinson movie.
It was whatever his number is. I don't even want to say the number wrong.
I'm here in Los Angeles.
And I'm a film critic. Oops.
Hello, Dolly. This is why we do the Tony Awards after show and not a sports show. We're like, what number was Jackie Robinson?
Amber.
Best Revival of Musical, Hello, Dolly. Mm-hmm. Best Play went to Oslo. And then, naturally, Best Musical went to Dear Evan Hansen. I thought Natasha and Pierre was a close one, though. I think, you know, when you get hype,
mm-hmm.
Dear Evan Hansen, of course, was going to win. I mean, it's
How
a stunning show.
How many did they
show.
Win total? Like seven?
I would have to count it.
They must have won like
they
seven.
They won a lot.
Hair. That was awkward. So, real quick, the memoriam. I love the fact that they did it on a marquee.
Right. That was fun.
I love the fact that they did it on the marquee, and I love the fact that it was introduced by Mark Hamill, and he said, you know, there are princes of the stage and a princess, and he went like this.
Right.
You know, because we lost Carrie Fisher, who was Princess Leia last year as well.
Yep, and Debbie Reynolds. James Earl Jones took the Tony Lifetime Achievement Award, two-time Tony Award winner.
Yes.
Fences and the Great White Hope. Yep, so it was great to see him out there.
Yep.
Some of the shows that weren't nominated that are currently running: Bronx Tale, Which we saw a little bit of. Cats.
Cats is back on Broadway?
Back on the Broadway. Okay. On Your Feet.
And okay, that's a Gloria Estefan show, yeah.
And Sunset Boulevard. Not nominated for a revival. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Anastasia are currently running on Broadway, but I think that they might have missed the Tony cutoff. Mm. So that is that's really interesting that at least A Bronx Tale, which I saw, I'm surprised it didn't get nominated for like best set design or something like that.
And we forgot to mention a couple of other people. Sound designers Gareth Fry and Pete Malkin won a special Tony Award for their sound designs for The Encounter.
Yes.
The Dallas Theater Center in Dallas, Texas won a special Tony. And Bayark Lee from the original cast of A Chorus Line won the Isabel Stevenson Tony Award. And there was also a Tony Award for Excellence in the Theater for Nina Lannan and Alan Wasser, who are agents in New York City.
Fun. Well, congratulations to all of them. Next season proves to be... It's crazy. There's a lot of shows coming out between 2018 and 2019, starting in April, with Harry Potter and the Cursed Child making its transfer from the West End.
I don't know how I feel
two-parter.
About that.
I hear it's great. All my friends who've been in London, they say it is amazing. As a Harry Potter fan, I am very excited to see it headed to the Broadway. I know auditions are happening right now. So we'll see what happens. Frozen coming to Broadway. They actually start their tryouts in Denver in a couple of months.
Yep.
We heard Mean Girls on with Tina Fey. Devil Wears Prada will make
that
its way to Broadway.
I think I might enjoy.
Escape to Margaritaville. King Kong. I'm just going to name them off now because there's a lot. To Kill a Mockingbird. Halftime, about a senior dance team at a dancing halftime backstage show. The Prom, Once on This Island, coming back.
Love it.
Prince of Broadway, about Stephen Sondheim. SpongeBob SquarePants with Lily Cooper, who's Chuck Cooper's daughter, who we saw in Spring Awakening.
Tony Award winner for the life.
M. Butterfly, My Fair Lady, Carousel, Children of a Lesser God. And then, of course, I mentioned King Kong, which they have been trying to bring to Broadway for a very long time. So we've got a lot of shows that are coming over the next couple of Tony seasons. So it'll be very interesting to see who
it most certainly will.
So next year, 72nd annual Tony Awards. Who do you think should host next year?
I have no idea, but I'll be really surprised and lovely to find out.
Lovely to find out. Thank you so much for hosting tonight with me.
Oh, my pleasure.
It was
I'm
so
a Broadway
much fun.
Baby. It was
Broadway
fun.
Baby.
Yes.
I'm glad we got to see a little bit of your performance.
Oh my God,
from the Avenue
just
Q.
Face cracked.
Oh my goodness. Where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram and the Facebook at The Curvy Critic.
And thank you guys so much for joining us tonight for the recap of the 71st Annual Tony Awards. I'm your host, Drexel Hurd. You can find me on Twitter at Drexel Hurd. Be sure to leave your comments below because we will talk to you. Because
yes,
you will be found. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next year.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.